This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to this episode of Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. Today's talented guest is a little out of the Western artist box, but her heart is as cowgirl as you can get. Her music ranges from inspirational to poignant to just plain fun, and I always find it thought-provoking. Before we bring her on, let's listen to her song, Believe in Me.
Trust in me.
Wow. Love that song. Again, while she's not Western in the traditional sense, she is absolutely a cowgirl, and I just love this lady's music. Her songs have shown up on the albums of major country superstars such as Reba McEntire, Jody Messina, and Little Texas, to name a few, and have actually been featured in several motion pictures. And yet you will never meet a more kind, down-to-earth, sweet human being. Her heart is my favorite thing about her. I am tickled pink to welcome to the show Templeton Thompson. Hey, Tempe.
Aww. Hey, how are you doing? Thank you so much, darling. We love you. You're amazing. I appreciate it.
You're sweet. Thank you. And I'm just so delighted to have you on the show. It's going to be fun to share you as well as your music with all of our listeners. And before we get going on the rest of it, I absolutely love the story of how you got your name. So could you please share with our listeners how you got named Templeton?
Oh, you're so sweet, Belinda. Yeah, it's very special to me. My dad's one of his best friends. My dad's a Marine, a very, very, very proud Marine who very proudly served his country, and one of his dearest friends was named Don Templeton. And Don was in Vietnam and was a fighter pilot and was transferred to helicopters via a paperwork error, and wound up going in and, bless his sweetheart, going in and rescuing his downed brothers. And in one of those rescue missions, he was shot down and killed in Vietnam. So he apparently never kind of found that one in his life, and had he had always wanted to have a little girl. And so my mom and dad, I thought it was very kind of them, they named me after sweet, amazing Don Templeton. So I very proudly wear the name Templeton, and the older I get, the more proud I am. Very honored. His name is on the wall there in Washington, D.C., on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, and I've gone and actually taken the paper that they give you, and you can trace, you know, the names of your loved ones. And I did that one year for my dad for Christmas. I actually went and traced it and wrote a note on it and had it framed and gave it to him one year for Christmas. And here I was pretty young at the time, and I thought I was doing a really nice thing. And it was a nice thing. He told me later, and he was very honored and grateful for it. But it just, you know, it got him very emotional. So, but he's always told me how much he treasures that. So that's a very long story as to how I received my name. I'm really, really, really proud of it.
Tears to my eyes. Yeah, I can see why.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, very precious.
Thanks.
And this is also your tie to that has led to some work with the Wounded Warriors too, hasn't it?
It has, absolutely, and I hope we can continue to do more of that. I just believe in that work so much, and my dad actually does a lot in helping his fellow brothers and sisters, you know, in the Marine Corps, and just very heavily involved. And as we both know, right, we know how healing our horses are for us, and we know how healing
yes.
they can be for folks who are differently abled. I heard a wonderful, wise, beautiful man say that as opposed to disabled, he's differently abled. And
I love that.
Because we have a lot of folks.
I love that.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? A lot of folks coming back.
It is.
Injured, and they're not getting taken care of the way they need to be. So I do hope that our country will step up to the plate a little more here now and be good to our veterans, and they do so much for us, and we need to give back to them. So my dad's very passionate about that. So therefore, you can imagine I'm very passionate about that.
Yes. I'm right there with you. It just grieves my heart. These people leave a piece of themselves. Even if they come back bodily whole, they still leave a piece of themselves overseas,
absolutely.
You know, and in these wars. And we just so need to honor them and make sure they're taken care of. I totally am on board with that. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure probably most of our listeners, if not all, are feeling the same way. So
I'd like
to talk a little bit about your childhood. Now, you're in Tennessee now, but you grew up in Texas.
Sure did. Born and raised, and was born in the Cleburne Hospital, and lived on a beautiful little piece of land out in Glen Rose, Texas, for a few years. I left Texas when I was pretty young, but long enough to be there and be a proud card-carrying Texan. So there's a really cool place Yeah, proud card carrying. And I pretty much have said
that
officially. Isn't that great? Well, you know, I mean, as Texans, we are kind of a different breed. So, and I'm quite proud of that too. So it's like, but yeah, my parents, actually, they divorced, you know, when I was very young. But prior to that, we lived in Glen Rose, Texas. And what was our place, which is a beautiful house, and I think about 100 acres is what they told me. I kind of, you know, I remember it, but I was also very tiny. But now that place has come to be a wildlife rescue, which is really awesome. Our old house is, it's now used as the offices for the Fossil Rim Wildlife Center right in Glen Rose, Texas. So if you're ever driving through, and I know your trails, your blessed trails take you all over the world. So if you're ever in Glen Rose and you see a sign for Fossil Rim, you got to stop in. You can go visit the zebras and the rhinos and, gosh, the giraffes.
Wow.
We had a very interesting run-in with a giraffe, actually, out there at Fossil Rim one day. We were, that's a whole nother story, but I'll just say when they say don't feed the beautiful babies from your car, and if you're like me, and I know you are, and all of us girls out there especially, oh, they're so beautiful, and gosh, it'll be okay. That's what I told Sam, and long and short of this story is a giraffe put his beautiful entire head and neck into the cab of our pickup truck. So I would just recommend just don't do that. when you're driving into Fossil Rim, they would appreciate it too. So there you go. But God, it was gorgeous. Do you know how big a giraffe head is? They're freaking huge. They're huge. They're beautiful, but they're huge. So yeah, it was awesome. Sam did his best giraffe whispering, and it was all good.
I can so see that with you, Tippi.
I know this is truly a family show. But I got to tell you, I had a video camera in hand, and the camera wound up on the floorboard of the truck, and the rest is history. So it was a spooky moment.
Yes.
We had fun. We had fun, and we left there going.
Video evidence of it.
yeah, it is. It's actually good. I think we may have burned that tape. I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I loved in your bio, I did some little research online for you, is that you said that your mother actually rode when she was pregnant. So you think that's where your love of horses came from?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's really petite anyway, very slight built and just gorgeous and horse crazy. You know how she learned to ride horses when she was growing up? She didn't really have the luxury of having horses, really. And so she would find neighbors. There was apparently a specific neighbor who had horses, and she was enamored with them, like us girls and boys are, right? And they're just so magnificent. And so she wanted to ride. So she would climb up in trees and jump on their backs. So, and ride like the wind out in the pasture on her neighbor's horses. So she's a wild child. She's fearless. She rides like she was made to be on the back of a horse. She's wonderful with horses, and she's why I'm horse crazy. So, yes, she rode with me till she was about 8-something months pregnant, I think, until the doctor said, you know, you might want to lay off until you have the baby. You know, then you can get back to riding again. So she made like a little papoose thingy for me and stuck me in the papoose. And I think shortly after I was born, we were riding out in Texas.
Oh.
So, yeah, I got it honest.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Well, another interesting story from your childhood is that you almost lost your fingers. Tell us about that.
I was 16, Miss Belinda, and I was the first day on the job at a polo field in Maryland, because I've kind of jumped all over the map, in my lifetime thus far, and so gladly and gratefully planted here in beautiful Middle Tennessee, out with my babies and my wonderful husband, my rock star cowboy Sam. Incredibly talented, by the way, as you already know. I went to high school in Maryland, and there was a big polo community out that way, and I was quite enamored with the sport of polo. Obviously, horse crazy, and we, of course, I've been so blessed to have horses my whole life. And I just started hanging out with some folks there on the polo field and became a groom. and learned about polo. And the first day on the job, like, it takes me a while to get to a point, forgive me, long story endless, like my neighbor, Sweet Jerry, he's always said, Tempe, you can make a long story endless. But anyway, first day on the job, it was probably, I don't know, they were one or two chuckers into the game. And one of the horses named Vali Quattro, I thought he was loose. And being very conscientious, as I am and have always been, I thought, oh, well, he's loose. I should tie him up to the trailer like the other string of polo ponies were. You know, they were all tied to the stock trailer. So I proceeded to walk up to Sweet Vali Quattro and picked up his lead line and walked him to the back of the stock trailer and just went. I mean, it happened so fast. And as we know, things can happen so fast with horses. And I went to put the rope around one of the bars, you know, in the stock trailer. That's as far as I'd gotten. And he freaked out, poor thing. I believe he was a very abused polo pony. And he was an Argentinian polo pony, and I've heard stories. And so he was one of those who obviously hadn't been treated very well and was scared to death to be tied. No one told me that. So when that rope went up around that stock trailer bar and he felt any resistance, you know, it scared him just, you know, and so he protected himself. And with about 1,200 pounds of his beautiful body weight, he pulled back and my hand went up. And I also had a ring on my left hand, on my ring finger, and it was bad. Like, basically, I almost lost my two middle fingers. They were kind of...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking at my hand right now, and I'm just looking at the scars. And, you know, I'm proud of those scars, though, because they made me who I am. So things happen. But it was very scary. And anyway, long and short, I kind of, all I sort of remember, Belinda, is jumping up and down, panicked, blood honestly going everywhere, holding my hand, and everyone staring at me because they were panicked, too. And I understand that. That's scary. It's traumatic. And luckily, the horse was fine, thank God. And, this wonderful man named Cowboy Bob, he was our farrier at the time, and he also did a lot of polo ponies, footsies. And he came up to me, grabbed me, I remember this like it happened yesterday, and with nippers, he cut that ring out of my finger without doing any more damage. And I'm convinced that Cowboy Bob saved my hand. So that's kind of the long story, and I've had 8 surgeries to show for it, to make it,
wow,
you know, where she is today. And so I don't wear my wedding ring on my left hand because my last surgery I had was because a stitch had been left in, and I wound up getting something called osteomyelitis in that finger, and they actually had to, you know, my ring finger is a little shorter on my left hand than on my right hand, so, and they had to just fuse it so it's straight. So if I stuck my wedding ring on there, it would just slide right off. So I wear my wedding ring on my right hand, and that's why I play guitar left-handed. So,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
What a story.
And I got hit on a couple times on the road because of that. It's kind of funny. I know. I'm so grateful. I'm so, well, I know. And that, it is kind of funny, though. Well, because, you know, you and me, Belinda, like, I think we're so much alike in so many ways, and I'm convinced we're kindred sister spirits, definitely. And when I talk to people, whether they're a man or a woman, I might put my hand on their shoulder. I'm,
yes,
a hugger, as you know.
Yes.
I'm friends,
yes,
with everybody. I love everybody. And we actually had one instance out on the road in Texas where this guy who watched us sing together all night long, talking about being married, just madly in love with each other. And I am not kidding. At the end of the night, he comes up to Sam and says, hey, so how long have you been playing guitar for her? Well, about as long as I've been married to her. That's pretty funny. And y'all know Sam. He's a very tall, good-looking, strapping man. And the guy was like, okay.
Yep.
So,
all righty, then I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So before we go any further, I want to play one of your songs. And we're going to play,
okay,
something with wings. How did you come to write this?
I'll make this one short. I know I'm talking a lot. There's a wonderful movie called The Emperor's New Groove. It's a Disney movie, and we were watching it one,
yes,
night, and there, you know that movie. So the scene where the emperor has been turned into a llama, and then he's trying to get turned back from a llama back into himself as the emperor, and he's come to being a good emperor now, and he's in this house with his cartoon companion friends, and they're giving him potions. Do you remember that scene? And they're walking,
yes,
either up,
yeah,
and down steps, but the steps are starting to disappear under their feet, And every potion he drinks, he's like, please be something with wings. Please be something with wings, because he's getting turned into everything but something that has wings that can fly them out of that situation. And we went, oh, we need to write a song called Something with Wings. And that's how it was written.
Well, cool. I love it. From a Disney movie. I think
Thanks.
That's fabulous.
You
can find inspiration anywhere, girlfriend. So let's
Well, we can, can't we?
Yes, we can.
Well, I got myself in a real bad situation. Far and I can't find my way out. Seems I've gone from bad to worse to desperation. And I prayed as hard as I can pray. I know help is on the way, but I'm in a dive and falling fast. Is it too much to ask?
I will never listen to that song the same again. Now I'm totally picturing the llama.
So sweet. I know. Totally right. It's such a great movie. It really is.
I love it. Well, something
Thank
really
you.
Interesting. That you went to college, Tempe. You are going to be a lawyer. I'm sorry. I cannot picture, knowing you now, I cannot picture you as a lawyer. So tell me about that, about, you know, Why you wanted to be a lawyer, and then what changed your path?
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, I come from a family of some attorneys, some really hardworking, self-made, amazing attorneys, and just really inspired by them, smart, wonderful uncles that I have. And kind of everyone seemed to think that that's what I ought to do. You know, I was sort of, I was never pushed in that direction. It was just kind of suggested. And I think I was a little not sure of what I wanted to do. I think my heart knew what I really wanted to do, but I just wasn't brave enough, I guess, for a while to go, I want to do music. That's something that's been in my heart my whole life. And I just didn't know that it was supposed to be my professional career. And so I took that, you know, the law school prep exam deal, the LSATs, and I literally went, I remember going into the auditorium to take that test at the University of Virginia, because that's where I did my last 2 years of college and where I graduated from college, and finished that test and immediately canceled the scores. I just knew, like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to go to Nashville. So I had read a story about Trisha Yearwood and how she had worked at MTM Records as an intern, and I'm such a huge Trisha Yearwood fan. I'm still such a huge Trisha Yearwood fan, and I just thought, well, maybe that's how I can get myself in. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I have no idea. I know I love to sing. I wasn't good at playing the guitar. I had not written a song except for just babblings, you know, kind of as a kid, you know, from the backs of my horses. I always just sang. I'd make stuff up, but it was never, you know, like a real song. And so, yeah, I just went, I'm going to go to Nashville, and that's what I did. I wrote a whole lot of letters. This is back, kids, this is back when we didn't have things like social media. And so even super fancy computers like we do now, I sound like an oldie. And so I wrote all these letters in the computer lab at the University of Virginia to all these heads of A&R and different labels in Nashville, and thought, well, maybe if one of those would be willing to give me an internship, it's kind of at least something that I'm going to go do in Nashville that might help my parents feel a little better about that too. You know, that it's not like, I'm just going to move there and wait tables. But
yes,
that's really what happened. So I moved there and I was an intern, you know, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, but I also waited a lot of tables too, you know, at night. And yeah, so that's that's kind of the short version of how that happened. And I'm so glad that I followed my heart instead of listening to what everyone else thought I should do. So for anyone else in that position, follow your heart. Just do what you want to do and do what you love. It's so important, isn't it? It's so important. It's just, it's so about
that. It really
is. Passion is really important. And
It is. I heard a saying some one time that said, if you do something you love for a living as your profession, you will never work a day in your life.
Amen to that. And not to say,
so
no, right,
always,
I would assume you would agree. Yeah. I mean, it's not like what we do is easy, right? But then if anything was easy, then everyone would do it. But I wouldn't change a thing.
I
know you work so hard.
Yes, but there's nothing that we do that doesn't require work. I mean, even when we're playing, it requires effort. You know, even when you get out and do things that you just love to do, there's effort involved. And so it's not that this doesn't require effort and planning and commitment and all of those things. But if it's something you're passionate about, then it doesn't have that drudgery, you know, of going to a job that you don't like and you're not into. And so, yeah. Follow your passion is a really good piece of advice, Tempe, for sure. And talking about passion, I want to talk about Mr. Sam.
Yeah, my sexy, wonderful, beautiful cowboy, my rock star cowboy.
Yes. So when did Sam come into your life, and how? What is that little love story?
Oh, you're awesome. Well, talk about a romantic, wonderful man, and so, so talented. Oh, my God. He and I met in Nashville. I went and I was actually going to listen to his band one night in Nashville at a place that no longer exists anymore. In fact, they bulldozed it, Jack's Guitar Bar, which is sad because it was a cool place, and Jack was such a cool dude. Hope you're out there somewhere, Jack, and listening. We love you. And so I showed up with a girlfriend one night to go hear Sam's band, but I wasn't going to meet or listen to Sam because I didn't know Sam. I was going to hear a friend of his playing guitar in the band with him that someone had told me about, and I needed a guitar player to accompany me at gigs because I just really wasn't good at playing the guitar yet, you know, and needed some help. So I went out with this friend of mine, and one of those things, and to this day, Sam will tell you, no, you thought that the guy in my band was cute. I'm like, no, I did not. I thought, you were cute. And I thought, hubba hubba, but I was too scared to even approach him. So, but I did talk to his friend, Mark, and they're like brothers. He is awesome. And Mark actually has been on the road with Trace Adkins now for years. Mark is one of the coolest dudes on the planet. So, yeah, and he's awesome, man. And like I said, they're practically brothers, Memphis boys. And Mark agreed to play some gigs with me. And one evening I was over at Mark's house, and he and I were rehearsing. And there's a knock at the door, and it's Sam. And I'm thinking, because I was so naive back then, and I'm still kind of naive. I have to watch myself. I'm pretty easy to believe things. So I've gotten more guarded the older I get. But long and short, here I'm thinking, oh, Sam just showed up. Well, no, he knew that I was going to be over there rehearsing, which is so sweet. Tells you how sweet he is. And I didn't know that until a few years ago. I still kind of thought he just randomly showed up that night because he and Mark were like brothers, you know. And we hit it off, and me and Sam and Mark sat and talked about let's go get some supper, went and had supper. And at the time, I was helping to organize a songwriter tour over to Normandy, France, and I still needed two more people to go with me, either two or one at this point. There were going to be four of us total. And Sam's like, I'll go. I'm like, okay, cool. So that's kind of the rest is history. So we basically were inseparable from that moment on, just as friends. We were best friends, absolute best friends, and rehearsed practically every day to go over to France, went over to France, and about 2 weeks in, I was already madly in love with him, already, from the moment I saw him, but too scared to tell him, and I was just too scared. So we get over there, and about 2 weeks in, France, Normandy, on a horse farm, you know, no less. So I'm just in heaven, and we just fell in love. You know, it just happened. And then, bless his sweet angel heart, he got me a ride on the beach on a beautiful Selle Française horse named Toopy, because I was longing for horses, Belinda. I'd given them up, you know, to move to Nashville. And it was a big hole for me, and he saw that. And he saw me just oohing and aahing over all the horses that we were around out there. And he got together with Stephanie and James, the other two people that were out on that tour with us, and said, hey, would you go in with me to get her a ride on the beach? And I thought that was really sweet. He, you know, got the idea going. They were willing to go along with it. Really sweet. And he saw the change in me when I came back from that ride. He's like, oh, my God, I get it. Wow. Which was so sweet that he saw that in me, too, you know, and he has since. He knows. He just knows how important horses are in my world. They're my babies. And anyway, so that just kind of tells you what a sweet pea my man is, and we've been together ever since. And he proposed to me on the same horse farm that we were at the year before, a year to the date that we started dating in France. It was quite romantic, you know, on this gorgeous horse farm, and he asked me to marry him, and of course I said yes, but at the same time I also said, but they're also horses, and we're supposed to go on a ride in the sulky, because they had, and they still do, it's called Manoir de Saint in Bouvron-en-Auge, en France, and they raise trotting horses, so gentleman Philippe, who was our host, right at the moment, I swear to God, when Sam said, will you? And I said, yes, I hear Philippe downstairs, because we were staying at this manoir, and it was like a two-story home. And Philippe is downstairs, no lie, right in front of the window, under the window, with one of the horses in the sulky, saying, would you like to go for a ride in the sulky, Templeton? I'm like, yes. So I basically said yes to Sam, and I said yes to that, and Sam kind of knew what he was in for for the rest of his whole life. Oh, my goodness. He's horse crazy. So actually, they took us both for a ride on the track, and it was really awesome, and it was they kind of knew, and they were already celebrating us being engaged. So it was a beautiful, beautiful day, and it's been a beautiful day with him ever since.
It has been. It's not like he didn't know what he was getting into with the horse crazy, did he?
No, he totally did. He totally did. But isn't it cool, though? I think that's, I'm really lucky. I don't know how he puts up with me, Belinda. I really don't, but I'm so grateful to God that he does.
Yes. So, speaking of grateful, perfect segue.
Yeah?
I love this song of yours, Wake Up Grateful. So real briefly, we need to get right to the song, but can you tell me really briefly how you came to write this?
Really briefly, we were in a place called Horse Thief Canyon, and we were going to Colorado. I'll make this quick, I swear to God. We were going to Colorado to go hang with some wonderful friends out there, actually in the John Lyons camp. That was so much fun, and we were going to go out and sing at a friend's wedding, and in return for that, it was so cool because we were buds. She said, look, if you'll come sing at this wedding for my family member, I will hook you up with this trip, you guys, a trip to Colorado, and come hang out and meet John and get to see his wonderful facility. And I have this dear friend who is this amazing photographer, and he's agreed to do a photo shoot with you horseback in this wonderful place called Horse Thief Canyon. Well, shoot, we were in, and part of the deal, too, was Sam was going to get to go fly fishing. So he was so excited. So anyway, we go to Colorado. And I feel terrible, Belinda, because what happened was we had this song already started, and then we get out to Horse Thief Canyon. I'm on a horse that I don't know, Eddie, who was a wonderful boy, is a wonderful boy. He was two at the time. And instead of me actually really being a good passenger for him, I kind of let him drive the ship. And we all know that that's not a good idea, and sometimes that can end not great for the two and four-legged involved. And what happened was we went to canter off one more time, and Charles, wonderful Charles Hilton, was going to snap off a few more photos, and we went over a log, and I should have said, no, let's don't go over that log, let's go left, but instead I was like, well, we'll just go over this log, I don't mind jumping it with you, let's do this, Eddie. So he jumped this very small log, but when he came down, we didn't know, but there was sand on the other side, and he buckled his knees and did one of those end-over-ends. We have pictures of it. Charles, because he was taking photos, and he had one, you know, he's professional, so it's like the frames are going by, and before he was, you know, able to put the, you know, camera away and come help me, because he was so sweet, he was like, you're not going to believe, we talked about this later, he's like, I have pictures of you guys going down, and it's really wild, and we were fine, except I wound up with a broken collarbone. So that's kind of how that song kind of officially came together, because it's like, you know, I used to, you know, have this fear of failing. Now I jump right in, you know, you get hurt, but that's okay. It makes you stronger. You know, we have a song called Stronger in the Broken Places. So it's just about, you know, it's just about being grateful, and things happen, and it's part of the journey, but I'm just grateful to God that it could have been really bad. But first thing, Eddie was fine.
Really bad.
That's all I care about. Yes. And then it was like, all right, we'll walk out of this canyon, collarbone broken and all. I don't care. So made me stronger. And I've got a really cool-looking neckline now because of it. It's my party trick. I've never shown you my party trick. So one of these days,
no,
Belinda and Gary, I'll
show
you guys my party
me.
Trick. It's a real party. I don't have a pre.
Wake up grateful.
I count my blessings. I'm just so glad to be alive. I do my best to learn lessons, cause I don't think we get to do this twice. This thing called life. This thing called life. Cup of coffee on my back porch. I sit and watch a new day dawn. I don't take one thing for granted. Cause it don't last for very long. This thing called life. Oh, this thing called. Give it away, lay my head down. like it did. Yeah, I used to have this fear of failing, but now I take a breath and dive right in the thing called life. Yeah, the thing called life. And I wake up grateful. Yeah. And I learn, 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 learn. Oh, I wake up grateful. Mm-hmm.
Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Wow, that's a nice song, Tempe. I like
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you very
oh,
much.
Gosh.
I appreciate it.
I'm excited that you went there not even really having to Nashville, not even really having written a song, and ended up with your songs on, you know, major, major albums. Wow. How did that? I mean, I'm sure that's a very, very long story. If we have a Reader's Digest version of how that came to be.
I know, yeah. Well, I mean, I had written a few songs. In fact, Sam's been going back and cataloging things because we're trying to get things off of old cassette tapes, old catalog songs from 20-plus years ago. And, you know, I had written, like, one or two tunes, but I just had no clue as to really how to craft a song. So it was definitely moving to Nashville and getting to meet people like Sam and other friends in the business who really knew the art of songwriting and how to truly craft a song, a contemporary commercial song kind of deal.
Right.
And so basically, actually, it was after we moved or we came back from our first trip from France that Sam and I and a couple of other folks were playing at the Bluebird Cafe. And this wonderful woman who I will just always thank forever and ever, amen, Jackie Chancy, she's an amazing woman, and at the time she was starting up a company, running a company for Tony Brown, who, you know, produces George Strait and Reba, you know, folks like that. Sweet Tony was opening a publishing company, and Jackie was running it, and she came up to me that night and said, hey, are you looking for a publishing deal? And honestly, I didn't even know what that really meant. I'm like, sure, you know, oh my gosh. And so, you know, I basically went into the studio very, very, very green. Oh, my gosh, listening back to some of that stuff, I just go, wow. But, you know, I'm proud of the girl I was because it got me to be the woman I am. And I'm proud of her because she was working hard and learning, and it's a journey. And if I could, you know, talk to her, you know, had I had a chance to go, just hang in there. It's not going to be easy, but just hang in there, and you're going to learn, and you're going to grow, and you're going to knock on a lot of doors and you're going to get a lot of no's, but then you're going to have those almost and yeses, you know, so just hang in there and don't quit. And I'm really grateful that I haven't quit and that I'm hanging in there because I'm not going away. I love what we get to do. And so long and short, how the songs wound up on albums was just working hard in that first publishing deal and writing every single day, you know, going to Music Row 5 days a week and writing people with people who were so much better than me. Oh, my gosh. And that's something that I've always heard. And Sam and I were talking about that the other day because I told him, I'm like, thank God I was hanging out with people like you and our friend Stephanie and our friend Claire. There are a whole bunch of people who made me better. You know, they lifted me up as a songwriter and believed in me. Right. And just, again, hard work, meeting people, songs getting pitched, and, you know, even the Reba thing that happened, that was not like it just happened. It was, you know, I pitched it myself and it didn't get anywhere, and then someone else in the business, God bless them, believed in the song and tried again and got that song cut. And then I said something crazy one day. I heard it was on hold, Belinda, with Reba. I'm like, oh, I have a Reba hold. She actually is holding the song and maybe going to record it. This all happened within a week. I'm talking too much again. You got to watch me. Too much coffee. And then we find out that she cut it. She actually did record it. And then I said, oh, next thing you know, she's going to want me to sing background on it. Ha, ha, ha. Wouldn't that be something? Just being silly. And then the next day, I'm not kidding, I got a phone call. And that's when I got to go to Starstruck and sing with her on that song that I wrote with Chuck Jones.
I didn't know that. How cool is that?
And then I even auditioned to go on the road with Reba. She actually requested that I audition. I was so honored. And she was, because Linda Davis, who is just one of my most favorite people on the planet. I love that woman. So talented. She's so good to me and Sam and everybody. And, you know, Linda was getting ready to go on the road. I didn't know her at the time, but have since gotten to meet her and get to know her. And so they were looking for someone else. And, yeah, her band leader called me and said, Reba is requesting that you audition as well. And I did. And I, again, I was still even back then, Belinda, kind of a scared little girl a little bit. You know, I hadn't been on the road yet. I hadn't really learned how to be an artist yet. It took me going on the road. It took Texas. It took, you know, just time on the road and meeting people and to get brave. So, but it was pretty dang cool. Got close. It got between me and another girl. So I've been told, but it wasn't meant to be, and I'm grateful it didn't happen because I wouldn't be where I am now had that happened, you know? So it's all cool. It's just, you know, just grateful.
It's sort of that thing about thank God for unanswered prayer, because the goodness of the Lord answered every single one of our prayers. Wouldn't we be going down paths that we would later regret? So it's just, it's, I mean, the Lord always answers prayers. It's just sometimes it's no. It's no,
sometimes
or maybe,
no.
or not now. Yeah, so we just, so then talking about the Lord, one of the things I love that you say is that you're closest to your horses. I mean, closest to the Lord when you're with your horses. And tell me about that. I would love to hear more about that.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm not a church going girl. It's just not something I've ever kind of done so much. You know, I did it as a kid, and for different reasons, it just didn't work for me. So, you know, my church is out with my babies. I mean, God is there. You know, I don't think God could be more present for me except for when I'm out with my babies. I just feel God everywhere. Just spending time with them, being on their backs, and, you know, and that goes for all of my four-leggeds. I don't know. There's just something about them. There's a peace and a love about them that makes me feel closest to God, because to me, God is love, you know, and I just, that's my church, you know, it works for me. And that's just kind of, that's kind of my deal. There's a beautiful song out there called Blue Sky Cathedral. Wish I'd written it. Beautiful song. And it's kind of about that, you know. It's just some people just do better, you know, being with God if they're just out under the big, beautiful blue sky that God gave us, you know. And that's kind
I hear that so often from cowboys, Tempe, that, you know, they just don't, just the nature of their lifestyle, they're just, you know, they rarely get the opportunity to actually physically, you know, walk into a church and spend time with the Lord in church. But they said their favorite pew is that you know, slick fork that they climb into and take off through the mountains or wherever. So, you know, the Lord is where you look for him. He's going to meet you where you are, and I think that's a wonderful attribute of our Lord, that he doesn't – people judge, people make judgments, people try to put you in boxes, but the Lord meets you where you are, and the Lord sees your heart, and I just think that's the coolest thing ever. So I would like to go into our
God
next
God is
song.
Everywhere.
He is everywhere, and I really love this song that you've written called "When My Story's Told." And tell me how you came to write that, and we're going to go ahead and play that thing.
You know, wow! And I should have thought about this. I honestly, that's one where I can't exactly think of why it happened. Sam would probably be better to answer that, because he would probably remember. But we wrote it with a gentleman named Kyle Hutton, who lives out in Texas, who we've known forever and has been a real supporter of our music for a long time. And I honestly right now don't know. Just a God thing. I don't know. I think it just fell out for all of us one day.
Sometimes they do that. You just get to hold the pen sometimes. So let's listen to
You got
to
it. Oh, I totally believe that.
I just love that song, Tippi. I might have to start doing that one.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I'd be honored. So would Sam. Thank you very much.
Oh, I love that song. Well, you have some wonderful music out there and some wonderful videos. Would you please tell our listeners how they can get to both?
Oh, thank you so much, Belinda. TempletonThompson.com. That'll pretty much get you where you need to go, and because there's a link for videos, and you can find me on Facebook, Templeton Thompson Music. You can find me on Twitter, Templeton T Music, YouTube. Just search Templeton Thompson, you'll find my channel. So it's amazing how the internet works. You can pretty much Google me, and you'll find what you need and probably more than you wanted to know. So there you go.
There you go. And you have some wonderful videos out there that I super enjoy. When I need to just a good smile or a little uplift, I love to go to YouTube and find your videos and just watch them. I enjoy you so much. So I would encourage people, if you can get on that. We obviously are on the internet. You're listening to this station. So just get on there and find Tempe's music and her videos. And it's just you're just such a delight. And it's just been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us, Tempe.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me on. And can I just brag on you, too, and just say, you guys, I still can't believe that Miss Belinda Gale recorded one of our songs, mine and Sam's songs, called Cowgirl Creed. And I believe that you've been winning some awards. Is that correct? You Rockstar Cowgirl? Will you tell everyone that? I know they all know, but I just want to hear. I want to get up to speed. You're amazing.
You're so sweet. Well, several songs have been nominated for Song of the Year. I won my latest album, the one with Cowgirl Creed on it. We got Album of the Year from the Western Music Association, and it's up for Album of the Year with the Academy of Western Artists. And just feel blessed.
Yay.
And it was very, very sweet of you to bring that up. But it's just, you know, God is good. And it's just a wonderful collection of songs. And I just loved Cowgirl Creed when I heard it. And it just really talks about your heart and what you perceive to be a cowgirl, which is exactly what I perceive to be a cowgirl. So I just felt like I just had to have it on there. And I'm having a lot of fun with that song. I've lost one of the chords that Sam showed me. I'm going to have to get him to show me that chord again.
Oh, you know he will.
I know he will. He's just great. Well, we're going to close
out.
Thank
you. And you're an icon, my dear.
Oh, well, you're too sweet. You're just too kind. I would really love for you to tell us about how you came to write Wishing You Wings. And we're going to close this segment with you with this beautiful song. So how did you come to write this song?
Oh, thank you. Well, like we were talking earlier, there are literally times, right? I know as songwriters, we both feel this way, that you're just holding the pen and it just writes itself. And I always feel like they're little gifts from God, and they just seem to fall out of the sky, and I'm lucky to be able to catch them. And literally this particular day, I was going on my little you and Robert, your wonderful husband Bob, you've been out to our home, and we have this little lane, that little long and winding little lane, and I went out to do what I call logging. I don't really run, I don't really jog, I do a log. So I was out doing that one day. And I didn't have a phone or any kind of recording device with me. And I got to the end of my little route that I take and my turnaround, and that song just started pouring out. I mean, pouring out. It was just, wow. I was just so grateful. And so I ran pretty much home. That was the day I did run, because I couldn't get home quick enough because I needed to put it down. I didn't want to lose it, you know. And it basically was done that day. I think I got home, put it down on my phone, worked on it, but I really didn't have to work on it. It just wrote itself. So just God thank you. I'm really grateful.
Give your sweet Sam a big hug around his neck for me, and thank you again for being on the show, Tempe. And we're going to listen now to Wishing You Wings.
Thank you. I love you, darling.
Love you too, sweetie. I'm wishing you love more. A lovely, lovely song to close out our segment with Tempe, and just so delighted to have her on the show today. And as I was getting ready for the show and thinking about Tempe and her life and what else I was reading about her, perseverance just really came to my mind. And so I looked up some scriptures and I found three short ones that I really love about just kind of sticking with it. And the first is in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. And in Luke 21:19, by standing firm, you will gain life. And then in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So when you follow your passion, when you're following the path that the Lord has for you, it's just so important to just not give up and to just stick to it. Keep your eyes on him and keep putting one foot in front of the other and trusting that he will lead you exactly where you need to go. And in God's time, in his perfect time, it'll all come together and you will understand all of what you are going through and what you are hoping to gain and attain. So just love you all. Thanks so much for listening today. And that's about it for today's show. And I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Blessed Trails. And please remember that every one of these shows, along with all of the shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio, are immediately archived, so you and your friends can go back and listen to any of them at your convenience. And so until next week, blessed trails. Then heaven, amen.